right. Well, you are listening to CFRO 100.5 FM in the city of Vancouver, CFUV 101.9 FM Victoria, and CFRC 101.9 FM Kingston. Fables for Your Microscope. That's the name of the show. And I am your host, DJ Asshole Zanica. And I just wanted to say it's true that last week's episode of Fables for Your Microscope was probably the worst. I won't say it was the worst one I ever did, because there are some that were really quite bad. But they were bad for different reasons. For example, I did one where I just had my acoustic guitar, and I spent the first 45 to 50 minutes of the show improvising a song about what it was. Sorry. Okay, so yeah, I spent the first 45 or 50 minutes of the show improvising a song about what it's like to get at awkward boners at a contact dance on Lisquiti Island. And so that was a pretty bad episode. I mean, I thought it was quite a good episode. I thought I had some choice bars in that song. But ultimately, I think what happened is that as I tried to expand the empire of this show to other radio stations and go further into syndication, I've been saying, hey, why don't you go back and listen to my shows on the NCRA website, because I've got everything archived there, the last 100 or whatever shows. And then before that, there were so very many other shows as well, but I have copies of those, but they're not available. Anyway, I think that I guess people, program directors and programming committees, whatever, go back and decide to just click on whatever show randomly and listen to it. And then they're like, oh, here's one that has a thing in the description about erections at contact dances. Let's listen to that. And then they listen to that and they say, oh, actually, this show's terrible and we don't want it on our station. And that's okay. I think you got to know me. If you like the show, then you must have survived that episode somehow or another. Anyways, but I didn't think I did a very good job last week. And the problem was that I was just being polemical and ranting about stuff in an angry way. And when you're polemical and you rant about stuff in an angry way, it just is bad. It's not to say that the problems that you're ranting about are not legitimate problems, because they are could be legitimate. I'd like to think they were legitimate. I can't remember what I was talking about. Oh, yeah, I was talking about how much I hated dogs, so that's a big subject. And it's not even true. I don't hate dogs. I just already have talked about that for 2 weeks in a row, so I don't want to revisit it other than to say people have to take care of their big dogs and not lock them up inside or they go crazy. Okay. So, yeah, but if you're going to go off on some subject, you got to either put it inside of some kind of satirical envelope or wit, or you have to do something. You can't just rant and be angry. I mean, you can just rant and be angry, but the thing is that nobody's going to want to listen to that. It's going to be like, oh, there goes that guy complaining again. Yeah, I mean, there has to be some kind of substantial construct to the delivery of the lines and layers of understanding that can be applied to what you're saying. If you just say this sucks, it's just not constructive. It's not constructive at all. That's what I did last week. So I want to own that and say, notwithstanding the songs that I made about getting erections at contact dances on different Gulfstream islands. Or is Luskiti even a Gulfstream island? I don't even know, but it's one of those islands. I can say whatever because there's definitely nobody on Luskiti listening. Nobody there even owns a radio or anything. Yeah, so that's that for that. Anyway, I don't know. I mean, I got rejected by some radio stations and I took it to heart and tried to professionalize the show a little bit more. And sometimes I succeed in that and sometimes I fail in that. And that's okay, because ultimately I do have to be me. I gotta be me in the middle of the night, or I won't feel all right. And you won't feel all right either. You'll say, what happened to Adam? He sold out. Yeah, he's just now flogging products for whatever. He's just flogging whatever. Oh yeah, he's just... He came up with a new program for... cultural exchanges between students in different lands, and he wanted to send Canadian students to China and bring Chinese students to Canada so we could learn about each other's culture, and he decided to call the program Euthanasia, and it's just a big sellout. Oh, sorry, not Adam. I mean DJ Asshole Zinica, whatever I said my name was. Okay, hey, guess what? Do I actually have anything to tell you? See, I just was saying how much more amazing this show is going to be than the last one. And it's so true. It's so true. All right. We got the kind of record that we love to play on this show right here. This is Midden. So it's Bent's Window Records.bandcamp.com. They're from Vancouver, and the show's from Vancouver, so that is a local band. What do you know? Midden. Bent Window Records. And the album's called Summary. Independent, extreme, and experimental music label from Vancouver, BC, formed in 2021 to highlight the strange, compelling, and provoking. These people are great. I got to get to know them for sure. Midden. Evan Hardy is a Vancouver-based musician, artist, and archaeologist who uses modular synth, field recordings, and other instruments to create compositions inspired and shaped by the weighted complexities associated with working with the distant past while living in the present. These compositions mirror the... I'm not stumbling over the words. The problem is that my glasses prescription is getting stale because I haven't been in because of the pandemic. So now I have to twist my head. Stratigraphic structure of Middens. Midden has played a number of festivals, including Glasgow International, Glasgow, UK, Sled Island in Calgary, Castet, which is in Prince George, despite the name. Are there a lot of French people in Prince George? I guess so. Hexistential, Newstech, and Big Joy. Okay, Newstech, wow. So we are going to play at that, and then we got canceled out of it because of the pandemic. And then when they started up again, they told us not to come because they only wanted local bands playing there. I was in Vancouver at the time, so. But, yeah, to be honest, I was at a lot of trouble getting shows in Victoria. And generally speaking, there was no small amount of hostility to the performances that I was doing, which I never quite understood. But yeah, so I played a show at... Well, I didn't play a show at Logan's, and I had this whole thing, which was this. Yeah, it was this whole setup that I'd been working on with synthesizers and a bass and all of this stuff, and I had all of these channels that I worked at the same time, and a microphone, and it was kind of like feedback loops and oscillators, and then bass tones that would oscillate through feedback loops and the voice echoing through it all. And I worked on it for quite a while, and thought I had it going pretty good. And I was doing sort of variations of the performance on my radio show in Victoria to practice. I had a 2-hour radio show, so I would just do a show where it was like 2 hours of experimental music sound. And I thought I was getting into some pretty deep spaces in terms of where I was going with that in my own sense. But then I went to play at Logan's, and the guy who was the sound guy there was just like very dismissive of the whole thing, electronic music. And he was like, oh, electronic music, whatever, like analog is the best, rock and roll. I once sucked the dick of the guy from the Kinks or whatever. And all of this stuff about like that. And then there were all these rock bands on the bill, and he was kind of chumming it up with talking to them and everything like that. And then when it came to be my turn to do the sound check or whatever, he was just like, first of all, I couldn't even find him, and I had to drag him back to get on the board or whatever to do the sound check. And then he was just like, oh, it doesn't work. I don't know why it doesn't work. Sorry. And I was like, well, everything's working. I checked all my stuff. He's like, it must be your equipment, because all my lines are fine. Everything's fine. Like, you're out. Must not work or whatever. But I knew that it worked perfectly well because I tested it at home quite rigorously. And then miraculously, every other band that played that night worked perfectly well, except that mine didn't work at all. So it was just like electronic music is, I guess, not welcome in that bar. So maybe I should have known that. And I played other shows there where I was like playing the banjo and bluegrass and old time music and everything. And there was never a problem because I was being an analog musician, but there was such hostility to electronic music. And then the very last show that we ever played in Victoria, which was at the Copper Owl. And we were slated to be on for 45 minutes or something like that. And then as usual, they put our band first when nobody was going to be there. But I still thought to myself, well, you know, they always put us first. And but nevertheless, I'm going to try to entertain the people who are there and do the best I can, because I believe in my musical project. And so I was doing that, and then Choi was also in that show singing, and he was singing into a mic, and I had that going back into my entire digital board setup that I told you about, where I was controlling all the dials and knobs and all the things going in and out. It was possible for me to spin them and bounce them in different ways and so on. So we were supposed to play 45 minutes, and actually quite a big crowd showed up, and I thought we were doing quite well and entertaining them. But the thing was that they gave me this really low table to work on, and so I was benched right over the low table, and I had my headphones on so I could hear the best mix that I could hear in the headphones. And then, I thought it was going great. I was very deeply into it, and I was kind of dancing and looking at my knobs and dials and really trying to move towards this very meditative landscape of sounds, patchworks and fabrics of noises that would get people into a slightly altered state of consciousness. That was my goal, and that is still my goal, musically speaking. Sometimes. Anyway, so I was doing that, and then all of a sudden someone came and tapped me on the shoulder, and I'd just been like dancing and singing and bouncing inside my headphones, and I hadn't realized that they had already stopped the show 10 minutes into it, and I was just dancing with myself, just like Billy Idol up on the stage, completely oblivious to the fact that my show had already been shut down and everybody in the audience was just standing there and staring at me and wondering when I was going to stop. So finally they stopped me, and I had this other song I wanted to do just with the ukulele. So then I got the ukulele and went up to the mic and started doing that. And then the soundboard guy was so angry, and he's like, your time's already done. Your time's already done. It's kind of like, well, what happened to the 35 minutes that we were supposed to play? So we packed up and left, and I felt, you know, a little miffed about it, but not really. It was just like, well, it's kind of a sign I'm leaving Victoria, and that's how it's been for me here with my shitty attitude. And I think the one thing that was really nice about it was that there's a woman who followed us down to the parking lot as we were packing up our stuff and leaving, because as I said, I was leaving town the next day and moving to Vancouver to work in the stop motion animation studio as a set builder over there. So and it was really like, and she followed us down to the parking lot and she said, like, listen, I thought your show was really amazing, and the thing that you have to understand is the difference between people who are bohemians and people who are hipsters. And your problem is that you two are bohemians, and you showed up to play this show thinking that you were going to be playing to bohemians, but actually you were playing to hipsters, and hipsters aren't actually interested in outlandish things that they've never heard before. They're only interested in things that seem edgy in ways that they already understand and are controllable to their sensitivities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. She was saying something like that. So you understand the difference that I'm saying. She was saying that, not me, but that was it. And I think it was a nice thing to say at the time. I mean, the nicest thing to say was that there was one person in the crowd, at least, who really liked what we were doing and didn't wish that we would just get the hell off the stage as fast as possible so that all of the other banal ass acts could go on. Or actually, there were probably some really good acts. There are some incredibly, incredibly great bands in Victoria, and people that I like a lot, and people whose music I really, really like a lot, and I think they're awesome. And I think that sometimes you just get gigs at these venues that are not supportive of that at all. I had, like I told you before, I had a weekly show in Montreal at a place. Every week, that's the nature of a weekly show. I had a couple going, but at this particular one, it was just, I had the stage for an hour and I would do whatever I was going to do up there. So a lot of the time I just went up and played the banjo or I played the guitar. Sometimes I did sitar stuff, and sometimes I brought a whole old time band in to play with me. And sometimes I did a sitar, more like sitar and tabla. And sometimes I did, but it was all acoustic analog stuff or whatever. So then one time I couldn't do the show, so I asked my friend Ivan to sit in for me. And Ivan, who also is perfectly capable of playing all kinds of musical instruments, but also likes to be experimental, decided that he was going to use the hour to do a tape loop experimentation show with a whole bunch of Walkmans that he had spliced together and all of these pieces of tapes that he'd clipped and sliced and everything. And then it was just like, some tapes running on loops and turning tapes on and off and having all of these sounds and everything like that. And he did this show at, and then what I actually came in and caught the last 10 or 15 minutes of it. And then afterward, he went off the stage and was cleaning up, and the person who ran the establishment was so mad at me. And he's like, I don't know why you told that guy to play your hour, but never, never, never let him come back in here and never play that kind of garbage again on stage here. I thought it was wonderful.
yourself to feel perfectly at peace, perfectly one, an unbelievable, unending human existence, a complex firmathma of love for Adam on Fables for your microscope. One of the greatest radio stations to ever exist, but one of the greatest radio makers to ever make, Adam. Today, I'm deep in it today, in a crowd of people. I'm in a massive space, thousands of people around me. And I just want to say to everybody, I believe you. I believe in you, and I want you to do well. Lots of love. Breathe in and breathe out, and send it back to Adam in the studio.
Of course, the thing is that I want you to understand that as I complain about those venues that I or other people were playing or experimental music at, you go into these things with the full knowledge that you're going to encounter the kind of hostility that you encounter every time. And that kind of goes with the territory, really. And yes, making experimental music is just like that. I mean, unless you do it inside the context of a university with academics and music scholars all around you, and then people clap and write little essays and ask you thought-provoking questions about the blues saxophone that you're playing with your ass, and you'll say, oh yes, so that was a reference to the 16th book of the Iliad, in fact. And the way that I was playing the blue plastic saxophone out of my ass is actually a reference to the tenuous position that Basilius had in the milieu of the ancient Greek world. And, you know, it's really just symbolic of the sort of horns that were played over the walls in Troy at that time in history. And they really set the tone for the entire largely mythological notion of a divide between Eastern and Western culture and philosophy that has persisted from that time. The battle between the Trojans and the Greeks, ostensibly people who spoke the same language and worshipped and were supported by the same gods, nevertheless became this foundational stone upon which the entire conflict that followed and continues up to this day was first hewn from the rock of the human imagination. And by blowing this blue saxophone out of my ass, I just remind you all of the power of discourse in the human imagination. Because if you don't do it that way, then you're just going to end up being an experimental musician who is living rent-free and using their girlfriend's cupboard as a music studio in order to further your career, and she has to take all her clothes out and just stack them around the room or in corners because of the fact that you need the space in order to work on your experimental music career in the cupboard. And that's the way that it is for most people who are making that kind of music. And sometimes Burnham Wood does come to Dunsinane Hill, and sometimes Dunsinane Hill does come to Burnham Wood. And yeah, guess what? It's a really special week because not only do we have one Sleepy Time Shoy episode, we have two Sleepy Time Shoy episodes. I don't know how this happened, but probably because as usual, I was teasing Shoy and trying to make him feel guilty. And the result of that was that he ended up sending a whole bunch more sleepy time Shoys than he usually would.
Breathing in, breathing out. It is I, Sleepy Time Shoy, here on Fables for Your Microscope, one of the greatest radio stations to ever broadcast itself in the world. Breathing in, breathing out. Listeners, giggling. Listeners of the radio, are you like me? Did you completely lose your mind with anger this morning when you found out that your internet bill was $5 more than you expected it to be? So you called them up and complained and became apoplectic on the phone and hung up in anger, likely in the confusion and delusion of a minimum wage worker who's at the other end of the line who had nothing to do with the increase in price or the surprise bill. They just had a job. And somehow, in some way, when life spurned itself onto this planet 4 billion years ago, you complaining at this person is part of their job. But it doesn't have to be, listeners. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in again. And breathe out again. Listeners, I'm not always a good person. Sometimes, small inconveniences like this cause me to bark and hiss on the phone and complain endlessly. And I am a bad person for doing that. Breathing in, breathing out. A huge part of me wants to call back, say sorry, apologize, and just accept the $5 increase, even though it's horribly unethical, and move on with my life. Breathing in, breathing out. $5 wasn't worth it to be upset all day. Breathing in, and breathing out. But my pride, listeners, my pride keeps me from calling back and apologizing. But what I like to do is breathe in, and then breathe out again, and then imagine myself calling back tomorrow, humble, apologetic, somehow finding that service person who serviced me yesterday, and say, I'm sorry for getting upset on the phone. It's not your fault that I got a $5 charge that I didn't expect. And then I just want to say, you're doing a great job. Breathing in, breathing out. And so are you. You, listeners, are doing a great job. And Adam, breathing in, breathing out, and feeling good. Adam is doing a great job. Send so much love to Adam and Joy over the phone, over the radio, over the internet superhighway. Sending love and joy to Adam in the studio.
I never listened to the Sleepy Time Shoys in advance because I want to just experience them in the moment and then respond to them and as I see fit, if I see fit. Usually I want to respond about the audio quality, but actually the audio quality in that one was quite good. So instead, unusually, I'm only going to respond to the content of the episode and say, so I laughed out loud when I heard it about the fight on the phone over the $5 from the internet company, even though I'm sorry that happened and I feel your pain. There's nothing worse than unexpectedly priced bills. I mean, there are things worse than that. So yeah, I started thinking about this lady that I used to date once upon a time. We're still great friends, even though we've gone our separate ways, romantically speaking. It's been quite a long time now, but we're still friends. We still talk quite often. And Anyway, so as context for what I want to say, so she's living here in Canada, but she was born in Venezuela to two parents who are both Jewish people who had to flee Argentina because they were also communists, and there was a big communist, anti-communist purge, et cetera, in Argentina at that time. So they had to flee from their lives for Argentina, and they went to Venezuela. And then they had to flee from Venezuela and come to Canada. But before they were in Argentina, their family came over from Poland, where they were interred in the Auschwitz concentration camp, and many of them died over there, and some made it out and moved to Argentina. And before that, they were in the Łódź ghetto before they were taken to the camps and everything like that. And before that, they were Bundists, which is a Jewish socialist labor movement. Obviously, the person I was dating was not alive at this time, but she was born in Venezuela some years down the road. So the Bundists were a socialist Jewish labor movement that you could say is really something that was philosophically quite different from Zionism. And the Bundists were, of that time, were largely wiped out by the Holocaust. And they were really a lot more concerned about the social, the life of Judaism as a life and a culture, as opposed to simply the religious aspects of it as a religion, and not necessarily so focused on the state of Israel, which didn't exist at that time, but aspiring to create it, so much as they believe that a homeland was the place where you were living, and you should try to love and approve the place that you are, and et cetera, et cetera. This is a lot to go into, but anyway, suffice to say that they had a, there's a lot of philosophical and political interest in that family. Very, very well-read people and informed people. And the thing about it is that this person that I was dating, she was and still is a savage debater. And we used to have debates all the time about all kinds of stuff, and they were just off the hook. And so anytime that we had to, we were living together, and anytime there was something like a Bell telephone bill or an internet bill that was priced $5, or something was wrong, or we weren't getting the service that was expected, or, you know, particularly with Bell Canada, you get all kinds of runarounds. She would get onto the phone and she just would say, I'm going to deal with this. And as I say, she's a very tough debater. And there were a number of times when she actually reduced the person that she was talking to tears because they were so overwhelmed with the disappointment that she felt in the service that she was getting. And she didn't pick on the small fry operators, but she worked her way up the chain of command to the point where people actually had the power to make decisions, like whether they were going to send a service person or whether they were going to adjust the bill. And she got those things adjusted. But that is a special power that not everybody has. It's the the debating equivalent of being able to just shoot 3-point shots at will from the logo in the center court of your basketball court whenever you please. Swoosh, 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 boom, boom, boom. So my message to Sleepy Time Shoy, don't be sad about the $5. Why don't we all get together and pray right now? Why don't we just put our hands together and pray? Universe, how are you? I'm good. All right. Well, yeah. We just are so sad that this is how you're supposed to talk when you're praying. It makes it sound a little more, like official, liturgical. This is what I'm saying. It makes you feel like there's rituals and ceremonies and stuff happening. Okay, so back into my character here. Dear universe, hey, you know what would be amazing? If Shoy were just walking down the street and he found $5 on the road that clearly didn't belong to anybody and had been abandoned. Yeah, imagine he found $5. Imagine he just went down to that beach by the Fraser River on the Ironworkers Bridge, but on the city side, there's a little beach there. Imagine if he went there and he went into the reeds to have a pee, and he found a little basket floating down the river in the reeds, and inside the little basket there was a $5 bill floating in there, and he could just take it home and spend it on whatever he pleased. And that would be great. So, hey, universe, why don't you just hook my man Shoy up with $5 so that he can pay his phone bill and he doesn't have to choose between paying his phone bill or selling his blood and semen in the Commercial Drive wet market in the Grandview Park men's bathroom, where you can sell your blood and semen for all kinds of profitable ventures and use it to pay your phone bills. So that would be really great. Hey, and guess what? We aspire to... Last week, the radio show was so terrible, and so we aspired, we thought about it all week, and we said, you know what, we're going to deliver a better show this week, and there's going to be more music, and there's going to be less talking, and it's not going to be polemical, and I'm not going to complain once about one thing. I'm just going to only have succinct and witty things to say, and I'm proud to say that I... managed to accomplish that to no degree whatsoever, and in fact have made a show that was even worse than the last one. So hey, if you want to hear back episodes of this show, or you want to just whatever, go to www.generalgruff.com. I deliberately made it so it doesn't work on mobile phones, but if you check it on your desktop or your laptop, it should probably work to some degree. I haven't updated it or really checked it for a while because I've been trying to work on that Pinworm album, but that's mostly done now except one or two things. So I guess I'm back to kind of working on other projects now. Anyway, the radio show's over and that's it. And only played one song, but the song was 21 minutes long, so that kind of counts for something. Anyway, yeah, thanks for tuning in and I hope this was okay. Next week will be better for sure.